Thank you, Bobby. If you have a Bible, if you would please turn in your Bibles, Luke chapter 17. And we're going to look at a text there as we begin our lesson together. Luke chapter 17. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." In this account that we have of Jesus performing this healing, a theme that becomes evident, or a problem that becomes evident as we see this, is the issue of ingratitude. You know, of these men that were healed, you would think that all of them would be so thrilled with the fact that they had had this hideous disease, this horrible disease that had plagued them for who knows how long. And all of a sudden, the Lord had been able to heal them, and yet they didn't take the time to even go back and to express their gratitude to the Lord. You know, I think we must recognize that ingratitude is something that really is rather common. Whether we're talking about children and parents, the kind of thing where your parents will do something for your kids and you don't stop to think about expressing gratitude to them. Or maybe your husband has done something for you, or your wife has done something for you, and you don't take the time to let them know that you appreciate that and express gratitude. Or in the workplace, how many times has it been that you've done a really good job, you've worked really hard, and your employer doesn't even seem to notice? Or vice versa, your employer has given you that bonus, or they've done something very kind to you, they've given you that promotion, and yet you don't take the time to express gratitude. You know, I think in relationships in the Lord's church, we see the same thing can sometimes happen. We don't stop and take the time to be thankful for each other. We have a relationship with one another in Christ. We have a kinship that is like no kinship with anyone else in the world. And yet, sometimes we just kind of take it for granted. We don't think too much about it. We treat it as if it is not a big deal. We may find that we don't express the kind of gratitude to God for the blessings that He has given us. And we don't stop and take the time to be thankful for those things. And in so doing, I think we need to understand that this is not just kind of a casual thing. This is not just something in which, well, like we were talking about in class, maybe one person has a gift in one area, one in another. You know, we may think, well, some people are just more grateful than others. Well, we need to recognize that ingratitude is something that is a sin, because it is something that we must demonstrate our gratitude in various situations. The account that we began with in Luke chapter 17 certainly illustrates this problem of ingratitude. Now, it wasn't that the other men that were healed did not appreciate what had been done. So thankfulness is not defined as inner appreciation. I think the problem is that it did not manifest itself in expressing gratitude to the one that had performed this function. They didn't go back and say thanks to God. And it's interesting in the account, the way that it records it, that it was a Samaritan that expressed gratitude. This is not really a racial recognition. What we're looking at in this is simply the problem that had developed in that period after the captivities, when, you'll remember, especially in the northern kingdom, when the northern kingdom had been taken off, Assyria brought people into that area, and after a time they even would try to have them learn a little bit of the old ways that had been taught. But eventually that would go on to the point where eventually Samaritans in that area actually had a different way of worshiping the God of Israel than the Jews did. And so there was a separation between them, and they didn't
didn't associate with one another. And yet it's interesting that in this situation, the ones that you would expect, fellow Jews, to show gratitude to Jesus, a fellow Jew that had healed them, they didn't take the time to do it. They didn't take the time to express that gratitude. Well, I said something that probably sounded like kind of a bold statement a moment ago, that ingratitude is a sin. Well, what do we see that the Bible teaches about gratitude? And I think we see very clearly that Christians are taught to have a spirit of gratitude. It is what will be described throughout Scripture as thankfulness. Appreciating what God has done, or appreciating what others may do for us. And I think one of the reasons we can conclude that it is sinful to have an attitude of ingratitude is the fact that we will see it characterized as that which is an attitude the wicked possess. Look with me at a few passages. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this becomes very clear in Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Notice this: "unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." If this is the kind of behavior that Paul tells Timothy, you turn away from that sort of people. If this is the kind of attitude that is put in this list of these horrible traits and horrible characteristics, you and I should look at that and say, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I want to express gratitude to others. I want to express gratitude to my God. Over in Romans chapter 1, we have that staggering passage in chapter 1 where Paul is demonstrating the sinfulness of the world as a whole, specifically the Gentile world. But I'd call to your attention, in the same way we noticed in 2 Timothy 3, as it talks about those perilous times, look at what it describes here about the way most in the world are. We talk about avoiding worldliness. We talk about avoiding those kinds of things that are sinful. Let us note here that ingratitude is classed within those kinds of worldly attitudes. Romans 1, beginning in verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because," now notice this, "although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." And I'd like for us to stop there. I want us to notice, particularly in our reading here, it started off with talking about one's attitude towards God and then returns back to that in our reading. They did not retain God in their knowledge. Now, I think it can be said that if we demonstrate that type of lack of thankfulness to God, we are setting ourselves up for the very kind of infidelity towards God, the very kind of apostasy towards God that's described here. Now, you may say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't follow. Just because I am not thankful, you're saying I may lose my faith, or you're saying that I may turn to sin? Absolutely. Because you see, when we are not thankful to God, we are not going to recognize our need to obey God. When we are not grateful to God for the things that He has given to us, we're going to start looking for things outside of His will. We're going to start looking for things that are in disobedience to His commands. And in the very same way that these people that are described here, that essentially this is the world around us, these people, when they stopped being thankful to God, turned in this direction. So as Christians, we need to have that spirit of gratitude. Well, what are the kinds of things that we need to be thankful for? Well, Christians should be grateful to God, and we should be grateful to God for a number of things. As we think about the fact that we are not our own, we did not create ourselves, we must recognize that we are the creature, and He is our Creator. Let's notice together several passages where this is emphasized, and I want us to think about this as we think about, well, do I have an attitude towards God that is thankful for all that He has done for me? Turn to Acts chapter 17, and let's look together beginning in verse 22 of Acts chapter 17. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, therefore the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation,'" notice verse 27, "'so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, for we are His offspring.'" If I have an attitude that recognizes I am a creature that was made by an all-powerful Creator, every day that I live, every moment that I live, every breath that I take, I will recognize, as the text tells us there in verse 28, in Him we live and move and have our being. Now, what does thankfulness have to do with that recognition? Well, it is an attitude that is grateful for the fact that our very existence, everything we have, is due to Him. Over in the book of Job, let's notice in Job 33 and in verse 4, the powerful statement that is made there quite simply about our recognition of God as our Creator. And in Job chapter 33, let's look together at verse 4. The text says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." We sometimes have a tendency as we live our life from day to day to just fail to recognize that we are a creature made by God. And it is God that continues to sustain us. I want you to notice a few passages that I think address this as it begins to relate towards this idea of thankfulness. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll notice in verse 20, the Apostle Paul tells the brethren in the church in Ephesus that we are to be giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, a very similar idea. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 17, Paul writes to those in the church in Colossae that we are to have this kind of attitude, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 18, notice that the apostle tells those in Thessalonica that, once again, in everything, give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. But I want us to think as well as we think about this idea that we should be grateful to God. Not only should we be grateful for the fact that we are His creation, but if we truly recognize that in Him we live and move and have our being, then as James will tell us in James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And so that means that the things around us that we enjoy, the people around us that we are blessed with, the family that we have, the brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be thankful and grateful for those things. Let's read a few passages together. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Well, notice what the apostle tells those in Ephesus once again. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the apostle says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are we grateful for the fact? I appreciated one of the prayers that was offered where the brother mentioned that the very privilege that we have to go to God in prayer is something for which we should ever be grateful and thankful for. You know, when we're talking about the grandeur and power of a God that can speak the universe into existence, one might well imagine that such a being would be so far removed from small, frail creatures like you and I that He would never have any interest in us. And yet the Bible makes it very clear that He does. Over in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 9, 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 9, the text tells us, in this is the love of God. The love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. You know, not only would we imagine that it might be easy for a being of such grandeur to not care about us, why in the world would we expect and imagine that such a being would love us and care enough about us to send His Son to die for us? What a great demonstration of love. And I'll tell you, we better be grateful for that. And our gratitude must manifest itself in obedience, or we will not be right with God. When we stand before God in judgment, we will wish that we had recognized the grandeur that we ought to be thankful for every day. Go to Colossians with me again. Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 12 through 4. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, notice this, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Continuing on, verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Not only is it something for which we must be grateful that God loved us enough that He sent His Son to die for us, but I want you to notice the wording here, that we are to be thankful for the fact that He has, note, qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We are given the grandeur of being able to look for the time in which we can live with Him eternally. Now, in the present, we are privileged to be counted as a part of His kingdom. Notice, He's delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us, or conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We serve the King. We are on the side of the winner in this conflict within the universe. We are on the side of the Creator who has loved us. We must be grateful for that. But finally, go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verses 3 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 4. Peter tells us this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, that is a hope that is set before the Christian that I hope each and every one of us every day thinks about, is grateful for, and allows that gratitude to manifest itself in obedience. You know, we talked about a lot of things this morning as it relates to gratitude. And I suspect that those that I'm preaching to don't have the same kind of struggle with this issue of ingratitude that those in the world certainly do. And I am impressed with the fact that I think even the brethren here at Olson Park, you're a thankful group and a thankful congregation of Christians. But in all of our lives, there are certainly elements in which we recognize, you know, I need to be more grateful for the things that God has blessed me with. I need to be thankful for my family. I need to be thankful for my job. I need to be thankful for the blessings that He's given me in life. But over and above even all of those things, if you are a Christian, you need to be grateful for those blessings, those spiritual blessings that have been given to you in Christ. And if, as a Christian, maybe ingratitude has allowed itself to manifest within your heart and life an indifference towards the things of God, maybe it's led you to just not make serving God a priority, I hope that our thoughts this morning will challenge you to rethink that. But if you're here this morning and you are not a child of God, you have not put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, you have not confessed that faith before men, repenting of sin that separates you from God, and you've not yet been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, I want to tell you that you can sit back and be as grateful for Jesus' sacrifice as you might imagine that you can be, but you are not expressing the ultimate gratitude if you don't obey what He has said. When you obey, I want to tell you, friend, you then have reason to have gratitude. You then can take advantage of those blessings that we've talked about. If you've never been obedient to the gospel, all things are ready and prepared. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.